May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1012. Himself he cannot save, insulting foe 'tis true. The words a gracious meaning have, though meant in scorn by you. Hymn 1012.
Let us read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being to be destinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the gracious help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful, ever gracious Lord God, do look down in mercy now as a company of poor, needy sinners have gathered once more in thy earthly courts. And thou knowest how each one of us have gathered this night. Thou knowest those souls have gathered with a true hunger and thirst after divine realities. Like that one who panteth after the heavenly water brooks. Lord, we pray that we may be found amongst those souls this night, waiting to hear what thou wilt speak unto our never-dying souls. For the time is short, eternity is before us each, and oh, the solemnity of it. Oh, leave not any to gather in vain. For, Lord, thou knowest every heart and every condition. For thou seest us through and through. For all is naked and open before the God with whom we have to do. And, Lord, we would fall now at thy feet, conscious of what sinners we are, and we would desire to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, conscious of what we are and what our sins deserve. But Lord, we come pleading with thee for mercy as we plead the precious name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus for our acceptance. Oh, that we might know, ere we leave thy courts this evening, that we are found amongst those favoured souls who we have been reading of, those who have been made accepted in the Beloved, a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. Oh, leave none to come short or be deceived. We each have a deceitful heart. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, thou dost. And oh, we pray that we may be affected by the solemnity of it. We cannot hide anything from thy all-seeing eye. But Lord, we come now, seeking that thou wilt gather with us and cause thy voice to be heard this night, unworthy though we are. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt lead us out of self, the things of this dying world, those things that have been the subjects in our minds throughout the day. Oh Lord, may we know the blessed reality of being able to truly lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. For Lord, we have no power of our own, but thou must do it. But Lord, that we may even this evening lose sight for a few moments of ourselves, of all that is taking place around us in this dying world, but that our hearts may be lifted heavenward. Oh, that there may be those longing desires to be found a partaker of Christ, the riches of his grace. For truly, Lord, none of thy dear people can be satisfied without it. And thou knowest them that are thine in this congregation this evening. O Lord, thou knowest those whom as yet thou hast not quickened into divine life, whom thou hast a favour towards and hast a favour towards them from eternity past. Put forth thy quickening power, we pray. For Lord, it's thy work and it's thy power. And we pray that souls may be brought to stop and consider their own spiritual state in the light of eternity. They may be solemnly affected by it. They may have revealed to them a little of what they are in the sight of a holy, heart-searching God. Lord, might it please thee to work mightily in this corner of thy vineyard. For Lord, thou hast done great things in this little church and congregation, and we would rejoice with thee. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldest yet continue that work and pour out the precious truths of the gospel into the hearts of poor, needy sinners, and in thy time brought to truly rejoice in thee. And now, Lord, we come in all our helplessness and wretchedness, seeking to be given a spirit of true heartfelt confession of our sins, to be given that precious grace of true repentance. Lord, we cannot give it to ourselves, and yet, Lord, thou knowest it's contrary to us by nature. But, oh, it's thy power. We want to know and feel in our own poor hearts. Bring us to thy feet in true contrition and godly sorrow for our sins. Lord, that we may be brought to truly feel that condition of all of thy dear people, that we are poor, spiritually poor and needy, having no strength of our own, no power of our own, looking within our own hearts and to see how desperately wicked that heart is when left to ourselves. But Lord, it's thy work alone. And we pray that thou wilt work in this little church and congregation, even this night, that souls may be blessed and given to them a token of thy love and mercy to their souls. Lord, lift us up then above everything here below, and may our hearts be taken up with the wonders of thy love and mercy displayed in the person of thy beloved Son, that love may be felt in our own hearts, drawing our affections after thee, conscious of our unworthiness, but Lord, conscious of the wonders of thy love and mercy that thou dost display to thy chosen people, to whom thou hast said thou wilt reveal the wonders of thy love and mercy and grace. Oh, may that be fulfilled this night in those hungry and thirsting souls, hungry and thirsting after Christ, to lay hold of him and to truly believe. Oh, Lord, do grant us that living faith in exercise. Thou knowest so often our poor hearts are full of unbelieving fears. Constantly we find within our own hearts that wretched sin of carnal reasoning. Lord, deliver us from it, we pray. And oh, for more grace to trust thee more completely. Lord, might it please thee then to remember us each, and oh, do visit our souls with thy salvation. We pray for this little corner of thy vineyard, the church and the congregation, Lord, those who are not here this evening, dear, caring for little ones, those, Lord, who would be here if they could. We bear them before thee and seek that thou will remember them each in much mercy. And as they gather in this house of prayer, Lord, may they know their souls fed with the precious truths of the gospel. Lord, they may taste of those rich blessings that are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those that carry the responsibility here, the deacons, and seek that thou wilt be with them and uphold them continually. Thou knowest the burden and the exercise of their souls regarding this little church and congregation, regarding their own spiritual condition. Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear their cries, and Lord, that thou wilt send gracious answers of peace, that they may be encouraged and strengthened to continue looking, resting, casting all their care upon a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest those that labour here, and seek that thou wilt own and bless their labours, and bless the word through them, and Lord, that souls may be fed and nourished and strengthened, their faith increased, their hope brightened. For Lord, it is thy Holy Spirit's work. For thou knowest those souls here who are often cast down and troubled on account of what they feel within, the effect of sin in them and around them. And Lord, fearing to presume, yet with a humble hope that thou hast looked upon them, Lord, sustain them still, be with them still. And Lord, we pray that the Son of Righteousness might arise with healing in his wings, those souls may be restored, encouraged and strengthened, and enabled to continue looking unto Jesus. Lord, we pray then for Zion, thy one church. We pray that thou wilt look upon Zion, our little group of churches. Lord, thou seest how few gather in thy earthly courts. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet appear, that there may be yet a building of the walls of Jerusalem, a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, and a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. For, Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. As yet thou hast not called them by thy grace, and yet thou hast loved them from eternity past. Lord, in thy time, may they be made manifest as children of thine and brought to praise and bless thee for the wonders of thy grace. We pray for those afflicted. We would remember thy afflicted servants. Lord, be with them and remember them in all their troubles and trials, Uphold them in the path. Strengthen them. Keep them from the enemy to their soul, which so often is so close at hand when thy dear people are walking in paths of afflictions and troubles. Lord, do hold them up. Sustain them. And if it is thy will, that thou wilt put forth thy healing hand. But oh, that in these paths there may be fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory, to them and to those around them. Lord, the work is thine. We commit them unto thee. We pray for this sinful nation. And Lord, thou seest the solemn state in this country today. Government in confusion. Much wickedness abounds. Despising of thee, thy ways, and thy truth. And such abominable statutes are recorded on the nation's statute book. Lord, what can we say? We have sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. For truly, Lord, our sins, our hearts testify to it. But oh, that thou wouldest appear, Lord, if it could please thee, for the sake of thy remnant and for thy great name's sake. Lord, we believe nothing is impossible with thee. But yet, Lord, we would be solemnly reminded that thy word declares that thy judgments will come on such wicked nations as we are. Lord, whatever thy purpose is concerning us, do grant us grace to submit to thy will and way. And yet, Lord, we truly believe that all of thy dear people are safe and secure in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we be found truly fleeing unto him, resting truly in him and what he is and what he has done, to be found washed in his precious blood, clothed in his righteousness, viewed perfect and complete in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, these are great things we ask. We're unworthy, but Lord, that thou wouldest appear for thy dear people in such a time as this, grant grace, grant strength sufficient to enable us to continue looking unto Jesus. Now we would thank thee for all the mercies and favours thou hast bestowed upon us. For how great are those blessings, unworthy though we are. And we pray to be given a heart of true gratitude and thankfulness to thee. And now, as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Keep us from all distracting worldly thoughts and cares. Keep us from the enemy to our souls. Fix our hearts upon things above, as we would ask of these petitions, seeking the pardon of every sin, as we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Hymn 536.
has rested upon my spirit. We humbly trust, given by the dear Holy Spirit. You'll find in the chapter that we read, the first chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and the last clause of verse 7. The last clause of verse 7 in the first chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. According to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. This chapter that the apostle wrote to the Ephesians has rested and does rest much upon my thought and mind. For in within this contains the whole of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonders of his love and mercy and grace displayed to poor, helpless, undone sinners who are the subjects of God's love and mercy. Now contained within the words before us is the whole of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, first of all, we would like desire to consider what these riches are, and then to consider how these riches are made known to the Lord's living family, and thirdly, the effect that it has upon the hearts and lives of the Lord's people, according to the riches of his grace. God determined, where before the world was created, that he would have a certain number who would be with him eternally to sing his praises forever and ever. As God created the earth, it was to these souls he created it in which they should live their life out here below. The riches of God's grace. He knew, well, he is one that is perfect in knowledge. He knew all that would come about in this world before it was created. Carnal reason cannot grasp these truths, but faith, when given, is enabled to lay hold of it and believe it. For he is perfect in knowledge, and he had a perfect knowledge of what you and I would be if we are amongst the Lord's people before we were ever born into this upon this earth. He knew every aspect of our lives, the paths that we would walk in, but he also knew those whom he would set his love upon to display the wonders of his grace. And what a mercy if we're amongst these characters. But you know, the Lord knew that Adam would fall in Eden's garden, and to be called to account, and to be banished from that garden forever on account of his disobedience to God's holy law and command. But before ever that fall took place, God knew each one of his dear people to whom he would bring safely home to glory at last. You see, God is perfect in knowledge. But these souls, through the Adam fall, are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And they walk contrary to God's ways and commands from the very moment of his birth, of their birth. The Lord knew it. But nevertheless, such was his love and mercy which he was to display toward them. My dear friend, those sins were no hindrance. Rather, those sins would be brought home to each character. And as they are convinced of their sins, they are brought to know the wonders of God's love and mercy displayed toward them. Now, what is that mercy? And what is that love? First of all, it's unmerited. There's nothing in you and me that can commend ourselves to God, for we have sinned from the moment of our birth. And if the Lord is dealing mercifully with you, you'll know it and feel it and mourn over it, as the Lord, by his dear Holy Spirit, quickens a soul into divine life. But the Lord knew that we would sin, yet he made a wondrous provision for his dear people. And that provision is in his beloved Son. He made a way whereby those sinners whom he set his love upon would be reconciled to himself, their souls redeemed, and be brought safely home to glory at last. These are the wondrous truths of the gospel. And how rich these are. You see, dear friend, these are the riches of God's grace, that he should make such a provision for such wretched sinners. As we said, nothing to commend ourselves to him, but he appointed it because he would have it so, to display not only his divine sovereignty, but to display his love and mercy to those chosen souls. The riches of God's grace, that he should so provide for the salvation of his dear people. And it's this salvation you and I will be brought to know if we're amongst the Lord's people, and be given that precious grace of faith to lay hold of the precious truths of it and believe it, not to be left at a distance. You see, many acknowledge the truth of these, of the way of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear it preached, they receive the truth of it in their minds and in their intellect. And if left to themselves, they convince themselves that that is all that is sufficient, whereby they may have found their hope of reaching heaven at last upon that which they have received, and believing that it is of God, thereby their souls considered to be eternally safe in the Lord Jesus. That's the arch deceit of the enemy to our souls. He will strive to convince souls and seek to they may be satisfied with an intellectual knowledge of the truth. We would emphasize it, beloved friend. It's a great danger. But you know how different it is if the Lord has quickened you into divine life and brought you to know your need of him, the riches of his grace. such whom he set his love upon. He quickens them into divine life and brings them to know what sinners they are and what their sins deserve. Because they're going to know this grace in their soul's experience. But as yet, there is a path the Lord brings his people, causes his people to walk in varying degrees, in varying circumstances. And that path is this, to a realization that their sins are so great, so black, that we deserve nothing at God's hand but eternal banishment forever. And every child of God is brought there to feel they have sinned against a holy God and done that which is evil in his sight. What a mercy that is if we are found amongst these quickened souls. It displays, as yet unrealized by that child of God, that it is through the riches of his grace that the Lord has singled you and me out, if we're the children of God, to be brought to walk in this place and to understand how wretched we are, how poor we are, how insufficient we are, how feelingly dead we feel to be, yet nevertheless spiritually alive, as the Holy Spirit quickens that soul into divine life. It's a path the Lord brings his people to walk in. Some in deeper measure than others, it is true. Some are gently led along by the work of the Holy Spirit. Others are cut down in a moment, as the Apostle Paul was, and brought to realize the solemnity of his case and condition, how heinously he had sinned against a holy God, to know what it is to feel condemned on account of those sins, that is, condemned by our hearts and consciences, whereby we are brought to acknowledge the solemn truth in our condition. The Lord has a purpose in bringing you and me there, beloved friend. It's painful to the flesh. It's opposite to our nature. And it's not comfortable to us as we feel the burden and guilt of sin resting upon our consciences. It's with us continually, day by day, to realize that we are in a solemn state. Sinners in the sight of a holy God who demands complete obedience to his holy law. And we have transgressed that law countless times, and the curse of that law is made to rest heavily upon our hearts and spirit. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The words the Lord spoke to Adam before he sinned in the Garden of Eden. That curse, my dear friend, rests upon the whole of mankind. And to perhaps expand a little on that, to die eternally. You see, we all die and shall die. That is the solemn consequence of sin when we breathe our last breath upon this earth. But it's to die eternally. That is, to hear that solemn sentence in the last great day of judgment. Depart into everlasting fire reserved for the devil and his angels. And these things are brought home to that quickened soul. And oh, what a burden it is. How troubled they are. You know, this trouble, and it's spoken of as soul trouble, transcends all other troubles that we encounter in our life here below, because it affects our never-dying souls and where we shall spend eternity. And yet, as the Lord has manifested these truths to you and me by the Holy Spirit, if we're amongst his people, it is a sweet and sacred indication that we are the subject of the riches of his grace, because the Lord is preparing that child of God, preparing their hearts to receive those rich blessings that he has determined shall be yours and mine if we're amongst the Lord's living family. How often the members of a church rejoice when they hear perhaps of those in the congregation who are brought into soul trouble and are burdened on account of their many sins and transgressions. Oh, they see it. They know the path, and they know the completion of that path. But my dear friend, they know and rejoice as they see the wonders of God, the riches of his grace being displayed to a poor, needy sinner. And that exercised soul observes it, and where does it bring? To the throne of grace. They pray for that soul. They wrestle at the throne of grace for that soul, that the Lord would appear for them. And my dear friend, when those united prayers ascend to heaven, the Lord knows and hears and answers those petitions. Not because we pray, but my dear friend, it is so exercised the church as they're brought to seek the welfare of that child of God who is walking in the paths of conviction of sin and carrying with them the burden of guilt. The paths of the Lord's people, they see and have tasted of the riches of God's grace. But in that great work that we've just been seeing of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world to save his people from the just deserts of their sins, to go to Gethsemane and to Calvary, there to suffer and bleed and die, as the sins of the whole election of grace were laid upon him, to make a perfect sacrifice, a perfect atonement for the sins of his people, to rise again for their justification, and therein to see they're found in possession and made known that they have a good hope through grace. What greater display can we have of this wondrous truth of the riches of God's grace toward his chosen people, to make such, to send his beloved Son into this sin-cursed earth, who willingly came, submitted himself to those sufferings that God demanded, judge justice demanded, he should pass through, the only way for reconciliation of his dear people to a holy, holy God. What greater display can we have of the riches of God's grace displayed to poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth? sacred truth. Here is the foundation of a poor sinner's hope, the ground of their faith. It is upon him they are brought to live and move and have their being, both in naturally and spiritually. The riches of his grace. And when the dear Lord comes to that stricken soul, burdened with sin, they come to feeling near to the end of everything. They wonder however that mercy can come. They plead for it, but they can still, they're kept waiting until the Lord shows to them how that mercy comes to each one of his dear people through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is to have the Lord Jesus revealed to your poor, needy soul, and to see by faith, as it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit in him, a perfect atonement for the sins of the whole election of grace. God's wrath pacified, satisfied, his wrath pacified. And now his dear people, as the Lord Jesus stood in the room and place and stead of his dear people, they view, God views his people in the perfection of the dear Lord Jesus. His people are made to know it in their own soul's experience when the Lord draws near, as indeed he does to every child of God when they're brought to walk in that path we've just outlined a few moments ago. It is that thereby they will know that they're amongst the Lord's people, that they are the objects of the riches of his grace, and it's displayed toward them in all that the dear Saviour undertook and pass through for them, washed in his precious blood, clothed in his righteousness, perfect and complete. Beloved friend, that is beyond our natural comprehension. But when the Lord gives to you and me that living faith, and enables us to lay hold of the truth of it, and to believe it, and to rest in the truth of it, then we are made to know that we are taste of the riches of God's grace to a poor, hell-deserving sinner, one so unworthy of such a blessing. God, in his infinite mercy, should look upon you and me and reveal to us a little of what Christ is and what he has done and what he has passed through, that our souls should be redeemed, our sins put away forever, atoned for, and that glorious inheritance which awaits all of the Lord's people. They see now that was purchased by the dear Lord Jesus, by his precious blood, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Wondrous truths, my dear friend. They display the riches of God's grace being made known to a child of God. What do these things mean to you, dear friend? Do you have a humble hope that you've tasted of these riches? Because these riches are beyond anything in this world. We may own the whole world, but it would be of no value, my dear friend, These riches are eternal. They're forever. And my dear friend, it's the dear child of God will enjoy those riches, the pleasures, those spiritual pleasures which the Lord accords to his dear people, to be forever with him, to sing his praises eternally, according to the riches of his grace. Do we believe it, dear friend? Do you have a humble hope? Do you have that evidence in your life as you reflect upon it? The Lord has begun that good work in you. Well, he has said, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that one is eternally safe, ever has been, ever will be. But that is safety. The church is in alone in a precious Saviour is revealed to that quickened soul. And in that one is enabled to rest in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, according to the riches of his grace. Now let us begin consider the last part, the working out of these truths day by day as we journey through this wilderness here below. The Lord's dealings with us, the paths that he has appointed for us. Those paths, we referred to it earlier, often are opposite to nature. But the Lord sees the needs before it. There are those lessons that we shall have to learn and will learn continually right down to our dying day. We shall learn more and more of our fallen nature and how great our sins are, how black they are. We shall never forget them. Although, if we're a child of God, those sins have been blotted out, put behind God's back. But a child of God never forgets what they once were. How often the Apostle Paul displayed that. As he wrote these epistles, as he preached the glorious gospel, how often he referred to those early days of unregeneracy when he persecuted the church of God, consigned many to prison and subjected them to many sufferings, believing that he was doing God's service until God opened his eyes on that Damascus road. And oh, what shame he must have felt that he had been so used. And yet, this character, the Apostle Paul, was a chosen vessel unto God. He singled him out. And to be that eminent apostle, where he would be brought to faithfully declare the wonders of God's love and mercy to his dear people, ever seeking, as he preached to them, it was that they should be brought, he said, God forbid, to glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. His concern was to whom he wrote, to whom he spoke, that they should know this dear Saviour, to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that is the desire of every living soul. We don't know very much, beloved friend. We don't know very much about ourselves rightly as God sees us. But you know, the Lord reveals to that one quickened into divine life, to that degree that brought a heartfelt confession and true repentance and are brought to seek after Christ, to know him. But that path of the Lord's people appointed by God, afflictions, they will be. Tribulations, temptations, trials of the way. certainly will be. But my dear friend, those appointments, that path which you and I are the subject of his direction, all are according to the riches of his grace. We may suffer in our bodies and cause us much distress, but do we really believe the Lord has appointed it for us for a purpose? He has indeed, and it is for our spiritual profit. It's in those paths we learn much of ourselves, but also we learn more and more of the wonders of our God, his faithfulness to his word. He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's the trial of that faith that the Lord gives to his dear people, whereby they're brought increasingly away from the world, the love of the world, self and sin, bringing us to see, have a clearer view of what we are. But oh, it is this, to give to us a clearer view of what Christ is, the wonders of his love and mercy towards such a sinful wretch as you and I will feel to be. We shall prove his faithfulness and love is ever made known to a child of God. He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That love is from everlasting to everlasting. It cannot change, for our God is an unchangeable God. And what he has purposed, he surely will perform. And yet old nature comes in, doesn't it, into these things. Oh, we find ourselves wrestling with some carnal reason, seeming to attribute the reason why we are walking in this path, forgetful. If we are a child of God, the Lord is in it. He has appointed it. And he will surely bring us through that path. Yes, it'll be the trial of our faith. Perhaps there'll be those times when we are brought to rebellion, even rebel against the path that we are walking in. We cannot, in a natural, carnal sense, see any justification for it. Oh, what wretched sinners we are. But my dear friend, the Lord is very, very merciful. Here's a testimony of the riches of his grace, that he does not turn away from us. No, his purpose is ever of love, and his purpose will be accomplished. And one other thing, it will be for your and my spiritual profit and his honour and glory, according to the riches of his grace. And the Lord will bring us to realize that. How many times have you, beloved friend, been brought into some deep trial and distress? Oh, how troubled you were. And the devil assaults you. He tells you, this is the end of everything. Your hypocrisy is now going to be revealed to everyone. You've made a profession, and now where are you? And what distress of heart it brings to that one, because they know they have sinned and do sin. But the devil, all he is seeking to destroy that precious grace of faith the Lord has given to you, but he never will. He never can, my dear friend, because God cannot change. He'll never leave his people. The path of the Lord's people. It's this, to bring us to the trial of our faith. One of the apostles said, is more precious than of gold that perisheth. Job knew it, didn't he? He said, I know the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's grace. That's grace, dear friend. When we can be made submissive to the Lord's will in the path that he has appointed for us. You see, Job, what a dark path he walked in. What distress he knew in his body and soul. But the Lord saw the needs before it. And you know what great faith that dear man possessed to be able to leave it with the Lord, believing that the issue would be right, and it would be for his spiritual profit and God's honour and God's glory. The path of the Lord's people. You see, so often we try and reason things out ourselves. Oh, the foolishness of it. If the Lord has brought us thus far, and the Lord has raised you up to a hope in his mercy, and you can trace that time when the Lord made known to you what a sinner you are, and how you felt it, and how you had to come and plead with God for mercy. The very beginning of the way, my dear friend. But that's unchangeable. Why? Because it's God's work. It can never be reversed. He will bring that one out of that horrible pit perhaps you feel to be in. And the miry clay, David knew it. And many of the Lord's people know that path. Poor Job knew it when he was in the ditch, on account of what he felt to be in the sight of a holy God. But faith, that grain of faith, brings forth a cry from your poor heart. God, be merciful to me. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. Oh, we find Jonah in the fish's belly. There, what trouble he was in on account of his disobedience to God's command. He knew the reason, and yet the Lord had wonderfully provided a way whereby Jonah would know the solemn effect of sinning against his God. But in his time, as he cried unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, the Lord, now we read that Jonah vomited up the whale vomited up Jonah on the dry land. Oh, what a painful lesson Job learnt then. And you know, some of us have to learn these painful lessons. Because we struggle, if we're a child of God, with the power of evil within our own hearts, our sinful propensities, our besetting sins. The Lord's people know it only too painfully. But you see, God's purpose is unalterable. He cannot change it. Yes, he'll bring his people there. They're those amongst those sieves that the Lord brings his people into, where they're shaken. Yes, they're brought to stop and consider and reflect upon their condition. But it brings them to the throne of grace. Lord, appear for me. Oh, Lord, remember me. The desire of a living soul, and you know, that soul, every soul that walks into these paths, that comes into these paths, that the Lord has appointed for them, he'll fulfill his purpose in them, and it'll always be for your spiritual profit and mine. But something else, vital, that we should render praise and honour and glory unto him for the wonders of his love and mercy toward us, according to the riches of his grace. Do we not see in our little lives the paths we walk in, the things that the Lord causes us to bring into our lives? It is not only for our spiritual profit, but it is that we may fulfill that purpose for which mankind was created. And what was that? To render praise and honour and glory unto him for the wonders of his love and mercy and grace in the provision that he makes for his dear people, both in providence and in grace. And in his time, he brings them safely through at last to be forever with their Lord and Saviour, according to the riches of his grace. You see, beloved friend, this word stretches and spans over the whole of the life of a child of God in his gracious dealings with us, according to the riches of his grace. He prepares that child of God for their eternal habitation, that when the Lord calls them out of this world to leave self, sin, Satan, the world all behind, and there to fulfill that purpose which God has, that his dear people should one day gather around his throne to sing his praises eternally unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, according to the riches of his grace. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Henry Mercer will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier on Thursday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 128. Christ bears the names of all his saints, deep on his heart engraved, attentive to the state and wants of all his love has saved. Hymn 128.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts, and do come and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part, and be with us through the remainder of our journey here below, and prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. We ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.